The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Really serious report out today from the Cancer Society. It shows delays in cancer treatment based on geography. This would be, as we know with cancer, early diagnosis and treatment is pivotal to better outcomes. So, for example, in Cavan General Hospital, Naas General Hospital and Conley General Hospital, they're 100% on time in terms of the treatment. But when you go to Letterkenny University Hospital in the wilds of Donegal, it's 20%. And if you go to St Luke's Hospital in Rathgar, it's 52%. Well, to get analysis on this, figures released from the Irish Cancer Society, it's a great pleasure to welcome Professor John Armstrong, President of the Irish Society of Radiation Oncology and Radiation Oncologist at St Luke's Hospital. Welcome to the programme, John. What's your overall reaction to this data?
Good morning, Ivan, and thank you for the opportunity to talk about this very important topic. Well, obviously, the oncology community is at one and the same time very upset about these figures and also not particularly surprised. We're aware of all the problems that patients have accessing timely treatment. So it's a systematic one. The figures that have been released show how difficult it is for patients to get access to the rapid access clinics and how variable that is in different parts of the country. But unfortunately, the problem doesn't stop there. So when someone comes to a rapid access clinic, for instance, a potential lung cancer patient, just because they get to the clinic doesn't mean that we're ready to treat them. A lot of things have to happen thereafter so they can access treatment in a timely manner. We don't know if they have cancer when they come to that clinic, so we have to run a lot of tests to figure out if they do have cancer. And then when we diagnose the presence of cancer, we have to know what is the extent of cancer. So they need access to other biopsies and scanning machines. And then they need access to the appropriate treatment. So there are many steps along the way in which these delays occur, and they are very serious, and they do have terrible implications for some patients.
Okay. I thought, like even going back to Mary Harney's time, we developed, I forget, there was a cancer kind of czar, Tom somebody, but basically we had a national plan, we devolved it to certain hospitals, and I thought our oncology treatment had improved a lot.
It certainly has. I think that what we are seeing is that outcome is getting better. But what this report is identifying is the opportunity to make outcome even better and to sort out the deficits in care. So some of them, for instance, are entirely predictable and mendable. If we take the St. Luke's Radiation Oncology Network, that is based in St. James's, in Beaumont and in Rathgar. And we have radiotherapy machines used for treating cancer, but our machines are now all very old and they have aged in an entirely predictable manner. And yet the HSE and the various entities within the HSE have not got it together to coordinate an approach to replacing those machines, despite the fact that it was as predictable as the fact that tomorrow is Thursday.
All right. So
stuff needs to be sorted out. We need a rolling replacement program for critical machinery, and we need the staff to treat the patients with that machine, with those machines, when we get them.
So when you talk about the equipment, are we talking about radium treatment? Are we talking about CT scans? What equipment are we talking about?
We're talking about linear accelerators, which are the basic workhorse of treating cancer patients with radiation. And they range in sophistication. And one of the problems is that when all your machines are the same age, you don't have any machine that's state-of-the-art. And what will happen now is we're going to get a load of new machines too late, and they'll all be ultra-modern when we get them, but then they'll all start aging at the same time. Instead of a tiered approach, a progressive approach where every 3 years we replace X percent of the machines and do this in a rolling manner and don't have to go through a horrendous bureaucratic process to make this happen. And bureaucracy is costing lives.
Yeah, and we can't overstate how time is important from this. I'm reading that the British Medical Journal found that every four-week delay in starting treatment can increase mortality by 10%. It's very striking, isn't it?
It is very striking, and it varies according to the type of cancer, obviously depending whether the cancer is a fast-growing or a slow-growing one. So the classic example of a fast-growing would be lung cancer, and the classic example of a slow-growing, in most instances, would be prostate cancer. But that's not to say we can delay the diagnosis of prostate cancer. We need to know what type of prostate cancer it is before we can safely say that, look, we can take our time to make up our mind about what's the best treatment for the patient.
Okay. I do a number of conferences in this area, and I did an international conference in relation to oncology. And these guys from America said, Ivan, there's fantastic new great development in terms of cancer. So we, with chemo, we poison it, we cut it out with surgery, or we burn it out with radium treatment. They said, Ivan, we're now going to melt the tumour, melt the cancer with immunotherapy. What's your take on that?
Well, immune therapy has been a fantastic new development, but it's not replacing conventional treatment. It's complementary to conventional treatment, and it represents an advance, not the advance. I think people have this view that there's going to be one cure for all cancers. Cancer is an entirely heterogeneous group of diseases, and we need different treatments for them. But what this outlines to us is the pivotal importance of research. And if I could just say how another example of how our machinery limitations prevents us from implementing great research. We ran a trial here in Ireland, led by my colleague, Professor Seamus Brennan, for head and neck cancer, which the patients either got a very comfortable non-claustrophobic mask to hold their head steady during treatment, or they got a claustrophobic mask. And we showed that the non-claustrophobic mask was just as good. And these results were presented in Vienna at an international meeting to great acclaim. What's happening now is that international patients worldwide will be benefiting from this Irish research, but we can't implement it because we don't have enough access to state-of-the-art machinery. So that's a cost to Irish patients.
But is immunotherapy available in Ireland?
Oh, it is. Yes, it is. But it's no more accessible or inaccessible than all the other treatments we have. Patients come up against the same log jams before they get to the point of having their immune therapy. The requirement to make a diagnosis, to assess the stage of the cancer, to have discussions about what's best for the patient, and to integrate that immune therapy with the other therapies. It doesn't stand on its own. It's part of the multidisciplinary approach to treating cancer.
The other conference, international conference I did, this guy got up and he spoke about the new drugs. So he said that obesity drugs was the big thing, but he said what was coming down the track was a vaccine for cancer, and that both in Asia and the US, they were really looking at, in terms of future patents, this was going to be the big commercial pharma zinger for the next 10 years. What do you think of that?
Well, we have a vaccine against cancer. It's called the HPV vaccine, which we give to boys and girls when they're in their young teens. And that prevents cervix cancer. It prevents oral pharynx cancer. It prevents anal cancer. And it has been a huge stride forward. And unfortunately, the anti-vaxxers, with their lack of science, are steering people away from this, which is a readily available, relatively cheap and extremely effective prevention. When we treat patients with cancer, for instance, there are scenarios where radiating tumours can switch on the immune system. So in a sense, you're creating a vaccine within the patient against their own cancer. And in many ways, that's what these immune therapy drugs do. They switch on the immune system.
The Irish Independent has an editorial and it says, cancer treatment far too critical to depend on the luck of the draw. And they go as far as to use the phrase medical apartheid when it comes to patients' access to certain hospital treatments. Is that fair comment or hyperbole?
Well, apartheid is an intentional and evil thing. What we do have is inequity in access due to entirely visible deficits in the healthcare provision in certain areas. And that's something we all know about. And the biggest problem to reversing it is the slow process by which decisions are made within the HSE.
And looking at this report, would it be simplistic to say there's a straightforward east-west geographical divide?
Well, no, because we see, you know, in St. Luke's, yeah, which serves the east of the country, we have, you know, very poor access to radiotherapy in a timely manner. That's what this report is telling us. And as you point out, an equally dreadful problem in Letterkenny.
All right.
So it's nationwide. It's patchy.
Okay. And so therefore, what does Jennifer McNeill, the new Minister for Health, need to do to sort this out? Is to get the parts of the jigsaw, like delays in equipment, like staff shortages, and just fill in that jigsaw? Is that what you're saying?
I think she needs to empower the National Cancer Control Programme, which at the moment has all the expertise required to determine what's needed in different locations, but doesn't have access to a sufficiently large budget and doesn't have the discretion to spend that budget in a manner that's effective. So when the National Cancer Control Program was set up, you used the word czar, which to me is not an appropriate word in this modern era. But nevertheless, the idea was the NCCP would be given a large discretionary budget and told you decide what to do with it. Unfortunately, that power has to some extent been taken away from the NCCP and it needs to be put back into the hands of the experts.
Finally, you know, there was a time in my lifetime when I can remember my father died of cancer and so on at 57 years of age, where a cancer diagnosis was, you know, pretty terminal and a death sentence. In terms of anyone listening, if they're one of the 220,000 people suffering from cancer, what's your central kind of positive message?
Well, the central positive message is we have the capability to improve outcome. And despite the negatives we're talking about today, we are seeing year on year nationwide an improvement in outcome. So I've never seen so many exciting positive research outputs as we see now. And it emphasizes the really critical importance of funding research in cancer care. And it's not a situation where you can just wait for the Americans to do it and then we'll copy them. The problem with cancer research is these new treatments require expertise. And if you're not involved in the conduct of the research to determine the value of the treatment, then you're not set up to implement that treatment when you've proven it works. And that's particularly true in radiation oncology, where having the machine is the simple part. You need the expertise to operate it. And that expertise is derived through participating in international trials where you have to meet the international best standards. And that has a trickle-down effect throughout the operation of your entire department, not just for the patients on trials. So we need more funding for patients to go on cancer clinical trials across all the disciplines involved in treating cancer.
All right. Very straightforward there. Professor John Armstrong, President of the Irish Society of Radiation Oncology and a radiation oncologist himself at St. Luke's Hospital in Dublin here in Rathgar. Thank you for joining us on The Pat Kenny Show. Now,
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.